Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
A lot of us are familiar with the story of Abraham, and but there's one person in his story that's only mentioned in a couple chapters, and but it's kind of interesting. For years, God promised Abraham, you know, I'm going to give you a son. All my promises are going to be on that son. And as the years went on, him and Sarah got a little impatient. And Sarah says, I got an Egyptian handmaid named Hagar. Why don't you have a child by her? And we can have a son that way. And but when we kind of step out of God's plan, that's when we find ourselves getting in trouble. And in Genesis 16, it talks about Hagar. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abraham, Behold now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and Abraham had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abraham to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. So she got a little bit proud. And it's like, okay, I'm going to be the alternate mother, if you want to put it that way. I'm having a child, and you're not pregnant yet. So she kind of looked down on Sarah a bit. And Sarah said unto Abraham, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid unto thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abraham said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, harshly, basically, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou? And whither wilt thou go? Where'd you come from? Where are you going? What are your plans, basically? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. And it's a Hebrew word, El Roy, the God that sees me. For she has said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Beret, and the well is called the well of him that liveth and seeth me. And the thing that kind of sticks out in my mind is God saw her situation. Regardless of how she got there, God saw her when she was in distress, when she was in need. But not only did he see her need, he did something about it. And that's the kind of thing that stuck with me all last week, thinking about this passage. And when you read Psalm 139, it's kind of a cool psalm. It talks about God knowing everything about us. I'm just going to read the first 6 verses, but if you ever want to know what God thinks about you and how important you are to him, read the whole psalm. It's pretty interesting. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. And it goes on to talk about how God created him in his mother's womb. He knows our very thoughts. And it's interesting, God knows everything about us. And he didn't just kind of create us and leave us alone. He saw our need. He saw our greatest need. Romans 5 says, For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth, that means he proved, he showed his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He saw your greatest need. And he didn't just, he wasn't just the God that sees, and then like the world, they kind of, you know, the atheists and the, oh, I believe in, you know, that there's a God, but he just kind of created the world and kind of left it alone. God isn't like that. God, well, he says even before he created the world, he already knew mankind's greatest need and already set it in motion. But here it talks about how he took the plan, he took the steps needed there. And then Romans 8 is kind of interesting. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? He already met your greatest need. If you walk with him, he'll meet all your other needs. God is the God that sees you. Whether you're going through, like me a couple weeks ago, allergic reaction on my birthday, so severe I had to go to the hospital, didn't know what was going on, and God was there. God saw my situation. He provided, my sister's been staying with me lately, and she was there to help me not panic when I couldn't breathe. And, you know, as soon as she realized, okay, something's wrong with my brother, she just started praying. And so did I, once I calmed down enough, you know. But it's like, okay, God's there. God can sort it out. God, you know, just kind of trust in him. You know, whether you're dealing with some tragedy in your home, some trouble, some... part of the reason why I wrote the poem that I'm going to share in a minute is for a friend that she's dealing with the loss of her mom from last month. God sees her grief. God is there. And God offers comfort in his word through his Holy Spirit. God sees whatever you're going through. And like this verse says, thou God seest me. He sees your need and he does something about it. He's there. Thou God seest me. You're the very God who sees the beginning and the end. Through all the trials I face in life, Jesus, you are my greatest friend. Thou God seest me. You don't just see all my situations. You truly know what's in my heart. And despite all life's complications, in wisdom, you know just where to start. Thou God seest me. You know my needs before I ask them. You strengthen me when I am weak. In my deepest times of sorrow, you provide the comfort that I seek. Thou God seest me. I need never fear for my future. You are already preparing the way. As a shepherd, you are guiding, and my path shines bright as day. Thou, God, seest me. You loved me before I knew you. You died for my sins and took my shame. You became my Lord and Savior when in faith I called upon your name. In my brightest or darkest situations, from the beginning to the end, you see. You understand all that I am going through because, thou, God, seest me.